us before.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop, with me, David Chombe, and, let's thank, Mattia Sangala with, the Twilight. And, you know, it's a Friday of the 28th of November, 2025. And, you must be able to understand that, we are moving toward the end of the year. And, next week is December. Where are you? What have you done? How are your plans? And, you must always be grateful. You must always be grateful because, when you are coming to the end of the year, there are those who did not make it until, this time. And there are also those who are not in a good shape. But the fact that you are awake, the fact that you can listen to your number one favorite radio station in Namibia, then, you must be grateful. And it's always very important to make sure that when you start your day with positivity. Make sure that you tick those bigger goals that you have, and make sure that you move toward that, because the fact that you are positive, the moment you have a positive mindset, then you can be able to move forward. I did not believe in that thing until to the point where when you start to be happy and be grateful of smaller things that you have, things will come into places. And believe me, we have to get it right. So I see. And we are reading that the results are coming out. The results are out. And just a few clarifications. Results are out. And, you know, you find that they are not as they have been in 2020. And you understand the dynamics of politics. And there is a lot of debates going on either on social media, either in a taxi, either at different places that you find people. They debate about politics. But the question we should ask ourselves is that how can we build forward? How can we deal with what we have and move forward? Because we cannot continue debating. We cannot continue speaking about what could have been done, why things have happened, instead of how we can move forward. And also to the young people, we must be able to make sure that as we speak, as we complain, as we discuss, we must be part of the solution, because it cannot be right. It cannot be right if we just speak and we are not part of the solution. Let us join those projects. Let us be at the forefront of development, and also find a way how we can work with each other. Yes, we are good friends after we support even, you know, external teams that we do not know. After we, you know, we argue about being defeated, we still have to come together and speak. But Namibia cannot only be built by those who are winners, but also those who did not make it, because they are saying in the game of politics, like in any other game, everybody is a winner, and also find a way that we can, you know, handle that. Yeah. Before we go to the conversation for today, let us look at, what is happening around. And, I was watching, the Ad Hoc Committee of South Africa. Then, it's also very important to listen and understand how is South African judicial system have been operating. And, I don't want to say I was impressed, but, you also start to realize that, men, we are not made from the same cloth. You have tough, you have those, difficult people to understand. And one of that is Keith Matala, the man at the center of, you know, the whole, investigation and inquiry. And, I've seen that, you know, it's very difficult even for experienced prosecutor to crack him. And, I do not want to jump into the conclusion. Maybe he will crack on the way, but, how things are looking. He looks, like a hard rock. And, I think it's also, quite important to listen and also, understand what is really happening? How can somebody, having so many cases being withdrawn, robbery, assault, cash in transit, and, you know, and also a question to say, what is really happening? But I want you to, get the time and also listen to the interrogation or maybe the commission of inquiry, especially looking at the ad hoc committee when he was faced, when Ket Matara appeared and he was faced by Meme Breidenbach, the former prosecutor who is currently a DA MP, and with her experience in prosecution, you will see how they are facing each other. And also, you know, there's a lot of questions that you need to ask. And one of that question is you have to point it to the institutions of you know, the state to say, how come the system allows such a man to go through? And maybe he was innocent out of all those cases. But after this, you know, short break, then you listen to this. And I want to also your interpretation to see, is it the system? Is it the person? Is it, you know, how do you view this? And also start to see that when institution of the state are not strengthened, then such a system will not serve its people. And looking at the situation of South Africa, it's not only in South Africa, but in any other country, and also compare with your judicial system, compare with neighbor's judicial system, and compare with how the world is dealing. What if some of the things that we do here in Africa, in Namibia, in Angola, Botswana, and many other countries in Africa, happen anywhere else in the world? For example, in China, in Japan, how would the punishment be? So, I think it's important to listen to this. And
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Mr. Matlala, you
just listen this for a moment, then you'll be able to see. It's a one-on-one, it's an inquiry, it's an ad hoc committee of South Africa versus one man, that is Ket Matara. He's a businessman who is alleged to have captured the judicial system, the criminal justice of South Africa. And he appeared before a parliamentary committee, and it's him versus, you know, the MP, that is Breidenbach. And let us listen just for a short time, and you'll be able to see.
You had quite a history with the police and with crime and some years now, is that correct?
Can you please repeat that?
But you've had quite a history with the police and criminal activities for some time now, is that correct?
With criminal activities?
Yes.
How?
Well, in 2000, you were arrested for possession of suspected stolen property. Matter was withdrawn, you'll recall.
In 2000?
Yes.
That's a long time, yes, but I will say yes here.
Yes. Also in 2000, in Silverton, you were arrested for theft out of a motor vehicle. That too was withdrawn. You recall?
I don't recall, but I take it.
Okay. Also in 2000, you were again theft of a motor vehicle in Brooklyn, that too was withdrawn. You recall?
Yes.
And in 2001 in Cinderville, you were arrested for burglary at a residential premises. In fact, you were convicted of that, is that correct?
Yes.
And what kind of sentence did you get?
4 years.
You served it?
Yes.
2006, cash in transit, acquitted?
Yes.
2011, theft of a motor vehicle, was withdrawn?
Yes.
2012, house robbery, possession of suspected stolen goods, withdrawn?
Yes.
2012, Brooklyn, common assault, withdrawn?
Yes.
2012, Mamelodi, possession of housebreaking equipment, withdrawn?
Yes.
2013, in Alberton, house robbery, withdrawn?
Yes.
2015, Silverton, carjacking and possession of suspected stolen goods, withdrawn?
Yes.
2016, possession of a firearm without a license, impersonation of a police officer, resisting and obstructing or assaulting a police officer, withdrawn?
Yes.
2018, attempted murder, withdrawn?
Yes.
That's quite a checkered history. Most people don't rack up that kind of history with the police. Would you agree? Would you agree?
Agree what?
Most people don't rack up this kind of history with the police.
I don't know that.
You don't know that. And how is it, Mr. McClellan, that you lived such a charmed life? Out of that entire list of activities, you were only convicted once. How did you manage that? Or were the rest all just nonsense charges?
Nonsense?
Yes, were they just nonsense charges?
No.
How is it that you were, everything was withdrawn or you were acquitted?
Well, I was supposed to be convicted.
Well, if you were guilty, yes.
Yes, if I was guilty.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're saying you weren't?
That's why they were withdrawn.
All of those?
Yes.
I see. So, despite this long history of what I regard certainly as a checkered past, you have a long history of dealing with police officials, and you have unusually close access to very high-ranking officials. Why is that?
Why do I have...
Mr. McClellan, we're not going to get anywhere. I have 30 minutes. It's a short period of time. I could spend easily three days with you.
Yes.
So please listen to the questions.
I don't want to answer something that I don't understand.
Please listen to the questions.
Yes.
And try and answer the question. Don't repeat what I say. It's not helpful. You have a long history with the police. And yet, despite that, you have unusually close access to high-ranking officials. Why is that?
I wouldn't say I have just, like I said before, it's not only high-ranking officials, it's different people, so they are part of them.
I see. So, you know, I've been a prosecutor for 26 years, I've been in Parliament for 14 years, and I don't have any generals in the police on speed dial. Yet you have an entire list full of them. How does that happen?
Some of them is because of the contact that I was having with them.
Yeah, and the rest?
It's people that I know.
You just know them?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah, that was Get Matala, and also MP Braden Buck, that is in South African, you know, parliamentary ad hoc committee. And so asking yourself a question to say, maybe it could be that he was so unlucky that almost 11 cases withdrawn, common assault, you know, cash in transit, possession of firearm without license, assaulting a police officer, house robbery, and possession of, you know, housebreaking equipment. But all those cases, different years, are withdrawn. You cannot judge because you are not the law. But somewhere, somehow, using common sense, it could be. It looks like something is not right. But if you have a system like this, and it's that who has money who go through, what about an ordinary person? That is a question that you need to ask. And what is justice in that regard? And also, who become a victim of these, you know, actions if somebody if somebody who has power, and I understand indeed he has best lawyers, and that's why it's even difficult. Not even Malema, for now, was able to crack this man. But we are yet to see, because you can go out win today, but maybe the day will still to come, because it's one man against the committee. But we are yet to see. But it's also a question of reflecting, and also see to say, if you want strong institution, what is that you need to root out? If you want strong institutions, what is justice to you? If you want strong institutions, that not only for punishment of people, but also institution which protect the interests of an ordinary person. Because even when you read the reports, even investigators themselves, they withdraw. When they say, no, Chief David, we are going to investigate Kate Matter, I say, I don't want to go there. They know. Even prosecutor, most of them, they go on sick leave if you are going to prosecute him. Then you understand that we are all men, but we are not made from the same cloth. You have the tough one. You have the difficult one. But we are yet to see how this, parliamentary inquiry or parliamentary ad hoc committee will come to its final conclusion, and also see what will happen moving forward. Yeah, looking at the other aspect which is happening, apart from results of elections which are coming out, results of election which are announced, and you see, we don't want to dwell much there, but we also need to look at, what can we do, particularly in terms of our development. It's also quite important to look at, France. It was indicated that French President Emmanuel Macron on Thursday unveiled the creation of new voluntary youth, military service to help in response to what he described as accelerating threat on a global stage. That is what is happening in France. Is that when it comes to France, he is, Macron is mobilizing the youth, especially to respond on accelerating, global threats at the global stage, to say, young people, they are volunteering there, and you do not know why is now, and why France is preparing, what is France is preparing for, and you're also asking yourself to say, the world is not yet at peace. Especially looking at war between Russia and Ukraine, and also looking at tensions at various countries, and why now, and when speaking about threats at on a global stage, what does it mean? Could it be also that it also means protecting France's economy and France's interest anyway? Particularly the interest in Africa. Could it be that way? But this question of interpretation, to say when France is calling or creating a new volunteering military service to help in responding to challenges at the global stage, is quite not a usual news, because when you are mobilizing people for military service to respond to threats at the global stage, it could be that you've seen something. It could be that either you've seen something coming. It could be that you are responding to an immediate threat. It could be that you also want to defend your country. But it's quite a news to look into before we go to the conversation for today. But what is very interesting, also today, like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have the Villager newspaper, which is out. We have the Villager newspaper, and we are also going to go through, especially in terms of economic news and also development. So let us look at what Emmanuel Macron is doing, and also let us look at that news.
French President Emmanuel Macron today announced the creation of a new voluntary youth military service, which is set to begin by mid-2026. Macron says the move will help France's response to accelerating threats on the global stage.
Dans ce monde incertain,
in this world that is uncertain, where force rules over law, war is a present-day reality. Our nation could not afford fear, panic, lack of preparedness, or division. And fear never prevents danger. The only way to avoid it is to prepare for it.
Ni à l'impréparation.
The move is part of a broader shift across Europe. Macron said the voluntary program will be open to 18 and 19-year-olds who would be paid. It would last 10 months and cost about $2.25 billion. The plan is for 3,000 people in 2026 who will only serve on French soil. That number will rise to 10,000 by 2030 and 50,000 youth by 2035. Macron says the number will be adjusted based on the evolution of the threats. Participants can integrate into civilian life, become a reservist, or stay in the armed forces after the program. Macron's announcement begins and brings France in line with nearly a dozen other European nations like Germany and Denmark who have launched similar projects.
Hey, that is what is happening in France. It's happening in France. It's the introduction of a new program of military service. And it's quite surprising, particularly during this time. And it's up for interpretation to say, what is the preparation for? Is it to defend the country? Or is there other things which are coming? Because military strength is very important in the economy. You cannot have a thriving economy when you do not have military power, because anybody can do anything. Anybody can come to you and also use military force to take what is yours. Look at what's happening in DRC. Because that of who has power can come anytime and also, you know, claim your resources. And if you have strong, organized military, it's very important. It's very important in the economy, because you can't just run an economy without the power of, you know, not really to say a power of a barrel of a gun, but you, without having, you know, a military power. Because we're looking at the list of the most strongest country in terms of the economy. You look at the U.S., look at China, you look at Russia, you look at Japan, you look at also other part of Iran, you will be able to realize that there is a relationship between a strong military and also strong economy, or the other way around to say, the more you are strong in the economy, you can also look at also strengthening to your military, because it's protection of territorial integrity, because the world has never been fair. And you do not be fair anytime soon, but you always need to make sure that you are ready for everything, you are ready for anything. That is why you see Macron is making sure that he is putting his house in order. You don't know why, you don't know what, but that is from that point of view. So, apart from retaliation from the U.S. and apart from diplomatic fragility, that we don't want to dwell in much, especially between the USA and also South Africa. Maybe able to read, be able to read, especially with South Africa presidency and the document that they have released, especially after the President Donald Trump indicated that Ramaphosa will not be welcome, or South Africa will not be welcome, especially next year in G20 summit 2026, and we'll be able to realize to say the fight is not over yet. The fight is not over yet, but it's up to you. It's up to you to interpret and also understand that what does it matter? What is that matter? And also what Namibia can learn, because if you listen to 2 days ago interview of Cyril Ramaphosa, indicated to say. The challenge, the interest, and also tariffs that were imposed to South Africa was very difficult, but was also a wake-up call. And one thing that he stated is that In terms of economic diversification, it also brought a new opportunity for South Africa. It brought a new opportunity for South Africa to look the other way, how they can trade with other part of the world. That is what he stated. And it's quite very important to say, if our trading partners find themselves in a difficult situation, for example, or they are no more interested in trading with us, where are we going to look into? And how is that new changes going to assist us to maintain, ongoing trade? How are they going to assist us to balance what we have been doing? Because looking at how things are now in South Africa, there's no much change which have happened, because you just find a new partner. Because if the relationship is not working, just find a new partner that can work with you. Because in terms of, it's not only about love affairs, it's also about trade. To say trade relations, they don't last forever. But the question is, what best did you make out of those trade? What lesson have you learned out of those trade? And also, what can you do to make sure that you have both, directions that you can look into? And in a situation that we are no more able to trade together, you can be able to look the other way and also continue serving your people. Because don't be like other African countries who say, please, that Trump assist us. We are going to lose 60,000 jobs. We are going to lose our competitiveness. Look at the reports from finance and trade ministries. I was laughing actually when I was looking at how Kenya responded, especially when AGOA was not extended. And 2 days before that, you'll be able to see people are saying we are in negotiation, we are speaking, but that has come to an end. The question is that, what have you learned? And it can be applied to an individual too, to say you must be able to understand that in terms of relations, you must be able to cope with new reality. You must be able to cope with your reality, because if something is no more working, if your love relationship is no more working, if your partner is no more, or business partner, or somebody that you like so much is no more interested in moving the same path with you, it's difficult, but that is how life is. It's not fair. It's happened in trade. It happens in politics. But what is very interesting about relations that they can also be rebuilt. They can also be rebuilt, because it's about continue crossing paths, because we are living in this world. It's not only about you are no more talking to somebody, but you must also have capacity to be able to rebuild relationship. That's how countries are. When you look at, for example, the relationship between Japan and the USA, you cannot come closer to them. You cannot. They are best friends. They are sharing trades, they are sharing trades, they are sharing technology. They are good friends in many ways. But when you look at history, this were one of the, deadliest enemies. And the history is telling us to say, Japan is the only country which, apart from now, September 11 of a kind of attack and all those things. It's the only country with boldness that have come to the U.S. soil and attacked the U.S. And in response to that, which was also an embarrassment to a military powerful nation at that time, in response to that, Japan also suffered deadliest, retaliation in the name of atomic bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, those years. But where we are now is to say, let's forget the past. Let us look at how we can build relations. Don't be surprised also, because things change. In 1 year or 2 years, in 1 month, things can change anytime. To say, US and South Africa, they will end up being in good terms. You don't know why. You don't know how, but that is how trade relations are. That is how relations are. And we are human. And that is what it is. So let's go to a short commercial break. Then we can look at the conversation for today, especially when you are looking at financial prudence. when you are looking at financial prudence, how prudent are we in managing of our finance, and also teach each other. You can also call in, you can call in to advise me, because I remember there was a time, I made some wrong financial choices, and then I asked myself, how come I host business and economic segment and I make this decision? But I realized to say I'm a human too, but it's very important to learn from mistakes, to say, no man, it can't be that I don't manage this the way I wanted to manage it. But, it's life, but you also need to learn from that, because finance, we are saying, is something that was introduced to us, our great grandfathers and grandmothers. They used to have different form of the economy, and it was not backward, it was what is there, and it was the form of the economy. It was how people trade across rivers. They trade with cows, they trade with chicken, they trade with goats, they trade with wheat, they trade with salt, and many other forms of trade. And there were also debts, and those debts were serviced too, like any other economy, and they understood that better. And we're going to look at that conversation, especially when you look at the foundation of the African economy and the emergence of money, and how are we going to get out of it.
Save big this festive season at WB. Get 4kg Kadila mixed chicken for $184.99.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere uligoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili nehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana konongeshe fa ya pungwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nene uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarude dayo loka opone ushenji fenawa nokumona oijagweri nawa ninge pata Fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora esta time bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The
eye. Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. Today we are discussing financial prudence. We are discussing financial prudence among indigenous Africans, and we are indicating to say money was introduced to Africans, but not made part of the foundation of the African economy. And the question that we are asking ourselves is that to what extent is money integrated to African economic values? How can we manage it wisely to develop our communities without asking for more external support? Now, when it comes to financial prudence, the simple definition of financial prudence is just be disciplined on managing financial resources and also looking at long-term sustainability and security. Now, there are various definitions and various, perspectives and perception about finance. Some can say, no, money is the root of all evils and all these things. Some people can say, money is not a problem, it's how we use it. Some people can say finance don't follow the money, follow a lot of things. But the question is that money is relevant. If you are hearing about those perceptions, don't believe them. Money is relevant. Is useful in this economy. Either it's e-money or hard cash. And that is the reason a lot of people wake up, a lot of people are moving, acting. Money is relevant. But it's not about money. It's about the economy. It's a mean to get properties. It's a mean to make life easy. You can be able to send, you can be able to assist somebody to get quality medical care with money. You can protect somebody with money. You can also, I don't want to say prolong your life, but you can buy your health back, although you cannot put your life in. But money is part of our economy. And if we do not understand the concept of finance, if we do not understand the foundation of African economy, particularly the fact that it was introduced to our great parent, it will be very difficult for us to manage it. We will continue asking for more without managing the less that we can get. We'll continue asking for social grants, even if more money is pumped into our economy. Those who have financial discipline and understand it to the core, they can able to get it back very fast. And if we understand it, maybe it could be that it will be one of the reasons that we'll be able to fight income inequality. Because I was speaking to somebody yesterday, and we're speaking about this thing of informal economy. Because recent research are indicating that when it's coming to the informal economy, have employed 58%. And prediction are indicating could be even 60% or 65%. Which means that most of the financial securations among the majority of Namibians is within the informal sector. And this informal sector is the one which is keeping money circulating in Namibia. But the question is that, do we know how to handle and manage that finance? And what does it mean if me as a child, when I was a child to say, I was not taught the value of money, how to use money, and what is the necessity of understanding the psychology of finance? What does it mean if I become a financial advisor without understanding finance to the core, without understanding how the economy started? Because, you know, when you look at economic books, the people, they don't really look deep to the foundation of African economy. They don't look at that. They think people were not trading. They think there were no debts. They think, I don't want to say they think African were just primitive. But why are you not teaching me the foundation of African economy to the core? To say if somebody, there was even an aspect of saying children were resources by then. They were resources. You have beautiful young ladies. That time there were resources to say when the king want to get married, and that is our culture. And they send people around and look at not only who is beautiful, there were features that if somebody is born with these features, this is my wealth. You cannot just be married by any poor guy who can come from there. With these features on my daughter, I have to protect her. Not everybody can come when she's on puberty. Not every boy can come and run with her. I have to protect her. Because it was children in the African economy were wealth. Wheat, goats, chicken, that was also used for trading. There was no money. There was no money by that time. And I do not want to say the economy was thriving, but people understood that you having a lot of cattle and me having a lot of children who are well mannered and also with certain features which I cannot mention, but those who understand the African value understood what I mean. It was like balance. And the introduction of finance came with a lot of questioning also. To say, this paper, when you give it to somebody with this number in it, with this value in it, when you give it to somebody, you can be able to acquire a certain product, and it can also be circulating. And you can also come to the extent of where to put it, how to invest it, where do you invest your money, who owned what, where you are investing your finance, who is controlling that that economy. Why do, when I get money, I end up buying things which are not necessary? Do I understand that? And that's why I always question to say, and I do not have a problem with banks, and I want people to make it to get me very clearly. I always question to say, man, why do you are your financial service provider, and you know, you are giving me finance, and I have to return it back at some point. But there's an aspect of also education about financial management coming from you. Then my question has always been, now, if you are teaching me how to use finance, what is, if I become very good and I understand how finance is working very well, will I be a good client to you? As a commercial bank, for example, if I understand, if I'm financially prudent, if I know that having my girlfriend and two kids, I don't need a 20 bedroom house. I just need a 2 bedroom house. And I have to manage it very well. If I understand that, I don't need to buy something of a name. If a cloth can lose value, it's not something that can bring me anything. If I understand that, will I be a good client to you? And that's why I'm always ask, you know, economists to say, what is the content of financial literacy that you are giving? And also to us, and I'm speaking to indigenous, you know, Africans, that finance was not introduced to us. We need to find a way on understanding how money is working. Otherwise, we will continue to say we need more. Because it's quite so embarrassing to see African leaders say, no, we need 100 billion so that we can develop our economy. How much money has been circulating in Africa? How much money is lost in Africa? What are we spending on? What are we spending on? Because the moment you understand that, then you become so careful. Because somebody posted Elon Musk's bedroom one day. It was just a mattress there and a few laptops and other things. There's somebody whose economy is equivalent to 20 countries' GDP. But to him, he understands various of things. To him, he understands various of things. But to us Africans, what can we do? Now, December is coming. A lot of people, if you are not having money, there is always a way to get money, because people are excited, they can give you, and you can also, who are working, you can go out and, see a lot of, sales, you go out and party. But the question is that, how is December going to look like if we are not financially prudent? Even an accountant, himself or herself, even a financial advisor in January, they are in trouble. Because you know why? Finance is not in our DNA. We need to find a way to learn that. Because we don't only learn to industrialize, we should not ask, we are asking for government to create jobs, but we must ask for a good education. We must ask for a good financial education that can assist us to get money. Now, I pray that every graduate, every young person must get opportunity and money and finance and assistance. But I should also pray, or I should also find a way and pray that they must also give an opportunity to understand the economy from the perspective of an African and our weakness in the system. Because if you understand that, it's going to be easier for us to navigate through. Because if we just say, no, I need money, but God give me wisdom to manage my finance too. Don't only give me a job, but give me wisdom to manage my finance. Because that should be a prayer. And also, parents, don't only pray for your kids to get jobs. Understand that there is more than that. It's more than that. There are a lot of situations where somebody created something very beautiful. There's always a story that we speak about at the village to say, we have those uncles that went to CDM that time. They bought Bedford, they bought Stout, and these guys started bringing development to the village. They build shops and also employ people. But there was no stock taking there. They just put the stock after the stock is finished. They put another one. And when this person got old, or God called him, everything just collapsed. Because to him, he has wealth, but it was new wealth. And it was a new generation of people that go out and work and bring development. But there was no integration of finance with African Foundation. And you understand that, to say that economy is not run on cattle and goat that we managed very well for many years. That economy was managed on finance, to say the stock is on this, it's bought this way, and this is the supplier, this is how to balance things, and this is when the economy is not doing well, the value of 100 is no more the same, this is how you do things. That is why even when, and a lot of things are disturbing us, there is emergence of technology. You come from barter trading, you come to hard cash, now there is emergence of technology. Now when technology is coming to say, no, people are no more carrying cash, this is how you do things. And that transition, that's why today we are saying, if you want to build our economy, we must not only say value addition. We must not only say economic diversification. We must not only say more jobs. We can have jobs. We can be all employed. But what we buy is not what we produce. Where we save in institutions that we do not own. And we buy things that we cannot use. And we can continue still become the slave to the system. Because the very important aspect of freedom is it's information and understanding, because when we understand, it's easier for us to be, prudent. You know, I there's always this thing which I observe, every time I get paid, I have to go out and check and buy my things too around. But the mood in town is different. Even to myself, I'm not saying it's other people, the English I speak, the confidence I have when I have money, and I know it's a problem, it's not the same. But I also observe other people, and I'm saying this with much respect, the white community, they are not surprised. Paid day or no paid day, they are the same. They are the same. Because to them, they were taught at home to say, this is how the economy is working. It's in their DNA. And you understand, if you are in the caste, you understand. There is always a vrupa with a sound. Every month, and you hear that, and you understand that this guy is paid, he put more money, you don't know where he's going. But mid-month, there is nothing there. But the question is that, are we financially prudent? Our friends, our white counterpart, they know how to use money, and they know properties very well. Look at the quality of clothes that they are wearing. Maybe we can also learn something from them. Because to them, they buy something of quality, it can sustain them. But to me, I can buy something so that I can show that at some point, people even come to the point of showing the pay slips and say, no, this is not the pay slip, but the receipt. This is how expensive my clothes is. Because you find somebody who the phone is more expensive than the bed that is sleeping on. Or the shoes are more expensive than everything that is in his flat. Then you're asking yourself, what is really wrong with us? Because you can lose your shoes anytime. We are not safe. You can lose your phone anytime. But the way we deal with finance, we really need to talk about these things. So let's take the caller and move forward. Good morning.
Yes.
So are you?
Good.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk of economy, economy, despite a lot of things, but there are only two types of economy now. The financial system.
Come again?
The financial system and the bartering system.
Okay.
Those are the two types of system of maybe in the economy, if you can see.
Yeah.
When it comes to exchange of goods.
Yeah.
In the market now.
Yeah.
Exchange of goods there. There are only two types of economy.
Yeah.
When it comes to exchange of goods, to bartering and what? And financial system.
Yeah.
We need to find out that the foundation of that the African economy was more on bartering.
Yeah.
Because that is the true factor of production. The primary factor of production are goods. Gold, what? Because in gold you can make a cake, copper, you can make whatever, you see?
Yeah.
Diamond, you can make jewelry and everything.
But money is nothing without attachment to it.
Yeah, financial system or money, your currencies, is not without the primary good. So that's where you see now, that's where the problem that we don't understand, like for a transition. Remember, that's one thing. If you know, without current, without war, military intervention, like military occupation or invasion, or current, then the European will not get any African money.
You
never get ahead to the African natural resources that good. Just because the question that is supposed to be here, I know financial prudence and everything are important.
Yeah.
But what you could have put up there,
yeah,
to ask why the value of the currency are different. Why is it's a paper.
It's a good question.
Why this paper have more value than this?
It's a very good question. But if you have a goat, if it's 15 kg in Namibia, when you take it to UK, it's still 15 kg.
Because the problem, you know, the financial system was just created to access to market. Access to the natural resources. That's why they always tell you Namibia is rich. DRC is rich, Africa is rich, what is easy, but poor. But it's just poor financially.
I get you.
We are just poor financially.
Because we don't know that thing.
But we are not poor in terms of the goods.
So which, I hear you.
So, now that is the gap. Now, the lack of understanding of finance in the goods. That's where the problem is with Africa. South Africa, they are not poor in natural resources or poor in labor, human labor. No.
Yeah.
No. Africans are just poor in what? In finance and understanding of finance. Just imagine the person who started the bank. That person did not have anything. Even when the bank came here, they did not have anything, but now they have a lot of land, they have a lot of property. How?
I hear you.
Because they just create a system of giving numbers and papers.
What can we do? Because we cannot go back to barter trading. We have to play according to this. But what can we do to make sure that?
We are not saying these things because we are against the system.
Yeah.
I want people to understand. You see, and when you are saying this, when I'm saying this, I'm just saying this to say it's not also a matter that we are not going to barter the system. No. That's why we need a finance, a system of economy when it comes to exchange of goods that accommodate the process. That's why even at the village level, people are still doing. Ohaha, I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
Whoever has money, you bring money. Who needs a feature? That's where the problem is now. It's to remove the features.
Yeah.
Because the true foundation of African economy is bartering. good to good.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
To come up with a system of economy,
mm-hmm.
that is come to exchange of good without and eliminating all the features of the current system, then you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like removing a fish from the, you know,
the pond.
From the river and put it in the pond.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know,
in a glass of water. the fish is alive.
Yeah.
But you know, it cannot multiply.
But do you think our leaders of our economy, they understand alternative ways of development and accommodating various ways in the system, or we are just following all the books from outside in terms of economy?
They understand or they do not understand the results are on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the, what you see on the ground, that is the level of understanding or of lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we need to understand, we must always learn for alternative.
I hear you.
Because when you see that, you know, when the European come up with a financial system, because they have to find an alternative to the bartering system, how to get end on the African industry. They come up with an alternative.
Yeah.
When they also realize that they want to colonize Africa.
Yeah.
But they cannot do it through their civilization.
Yeah.
They have to go for the alternative of democracy and get rid of African leadership style.
And what we did wrong, maybe we never even went and say, no, some of the things we are doing back were good, we can put them here.
Yeah, the problem now, we just follow, ne? We don't abandon what we know. Without even, and there was no proper transition. That's why you still find people are fighting for democracy. Even if democracy has brought nothing to them.
I hear you.
Yeah. People are like that. So that's why I always tell you to like, whoever wants to grow, he must follow the Chinese model. To the reality. That's why venture people know it's not the color of the cat.
It's a rule. It's what the cat can do.
Yeah, it's what the cat do. But what the cat do is natural ability.
Yeah.
It's to catch mouse or eat mouse.
Yeah.
So if you are fighting for this, for the black, for the white cat in the house,
why the house
is full of mouse, what is the point there? That you're trying. Yeah. It's like fighting for the system. For the system that bring misery.
I hear you.
Talking about unemployment, you talk about the poverty, you talk about the underdevelopment, you talk about debt, the thing, those things. What bring it? But you are under democracy.
But you know, people do not like controversial thinkers or alternative ways of thinking. And that's why I've seen it a lot. I when you follow South African politics, is politics of Zimbabwe, Namibia, you go to Nigeria, a person who think differently from others will end up being, you know, excluded. You can see it with your own eyes. To say somebody who
It has been always like that. It has been all like that, you know? Because even the media also have a role to play. They are even promoting, you know? they are not promoting, like, critical thinkers.
Come again?
They are not even promoting critical thinkers.
No, I hear you.
Now, when you are here saying, they also have an agenda they want to push. Because if you cannot promote your critical thinkers now, what are you doing? You are at the forefront to say, no, things are not well, things are not well, but you want things well. But you cannot fulfill your obligation also.
I hear you.
That's why, for me, I'm saying, the question here, and you are an economist, right?
I'm a political economist.
If you are economist, whatever political, whatever.
You
see, you can be agricultural economy, but just economy.
I hear you.
The rule remains the same.
Yeah.
Whether it's politically, whatever, the rule remains the same.
Yeah.
Demand and supply. You see?
Yeah.
I don't want to conflict yourself with whatever you, but.
I hear you. Now, while we are there, because we spoke about the butter trade and all these things, I want to look at academia. Do we have academics who think out of the box? Who think, I don't want to say they are not thinkers, who think alternatively and also look back to old knowledge and say, man, let's go back. Let us not only following this book, which was written in Oxford, in Harvard, but let's go back to say, how was the model of African economy and what can we learn? Do we have those in Namibia and Africa also to say?
That's why we cannot have it at the academic level. Why? Because who wrote the books?
No, that is a question now. But you have some who are writing now.
It's difficult to find the literature about the African economy.
Hold on, just 1 second.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yes, let's continue.
That's why I said that. Look, at the end of the day, that's why I was asking to say, look, what we just need to understand to people, we need to teach people at that platform, is for to understand the alternative way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they must be, you know, life is all about two things.
Yeah.
Negative and opposite, and positive.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot run in a system which doesn't have competition.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
You must always have the two. That's why I said, how can you say the academic when academic, they have no African knowledge of economy? When I was in school, the young person, maybe in grade 8, there are grade 9, when we start to maybe learn about the system of economy and better system.
Yeah.
Even capitalism and communism and those things, they only started teaching us the bad things. They never taught us
the success stories.
About what was good for us, in terms of sovereignty ownership. Because in a battery system, the economy belongs to who?
To the people.
To the people.
Yeah.
Because you can burn money. You can have a full room full of money and you bend them. What you are going to do with them with the bend? You get poor that day. But if you can, if you kill the animal, you can meet. You understand?
No, I hear that's why, how can you have a bank of money? Then me, I have 20 cattle and people are saying you are the one who is rich.
Yeah, that's why what I'm trying to push here is we need a system of economy that accepts everything. Because if you want a house and you don't have like cattle, then you use paper. You understand? You use paper.
Yeah.
Because the paper is the one that led you to get a property.
I hear you.
But if you have cattle and you want also a house, you can still use. What is the problem with it? What is the problem with it?
I think that is going to be a better alternative system, because you cut out a lot of things such as interest and all those things, because some of these things, you know, if you have a fat cow, it depends on now, because you have a fat cow, which, in terms of money, let me say, is it over,
just take a cow.
Yeah.
Bought a cow. What is the interest?
Come again?
If you just bought a, you have a cow.
Yeah.
If I, a cow, we exchange with Mahangu, then I give you the cow. What is the interest?
No, there is no.
There is one. Unless you don't understand. Because this cow is going to give birth. That is interest.
Come again?
Give birth and the reproduction.
Come again?
The interest is with the reproduction of the cow. With the Mahangu, you can eat some. The other one, you can also sell them.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean, because I thought in terms of exchange rates.
That's why I said that exchange rate is still there. You just need to understand the model, because in with financial system you add interest,
right? Yeah.
But with the real good, what I'll do? If you buy a cow, what go or you exchange a cow with a Mahang?
Yeah.
Each person has what interest there?
Well, what if the cow is not fertile?
Those is the same as that. You also have, you give money and you never multiply them.
Okay. No, I understand you. I understand you very well. I understand you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only three things that I mentioned here. Number one is the alternative.
Right?
Alternative. Number three is to say, look, why Namibian currency is weaker than the US? Because if you cannot answer that, if you cannot interrogate that as an economist, we are talking now in terms of a financial system, because we need to interrogate the current system and the financial system.
Okay. Now let's come back to us indigenous Africans, and also money. What where did we get it wrong? I don't want us to let us leave butter trade a little bit out of the picture. What did we miss when it comes to using of finance? And also, what did we miss?
Just a lack of understanding. What is the financial system? It's all about. We just, that lack of understanding. It's only.
Is it because we don't own it or what?
It's not yours. Look, even if it's yours, like the owner of the system is always the sovereignty over it. You can run, but I think you first need to understand it proper.
But can you still win within a current system?
You can win. That's why you see the Chinese have won.
No, they have won.
Because Chinese are using two systems. Of economy, in terms of at the global, to say, look, they are still using, because in their country there is no private bank. One thing. They were using one as an experiment. They was only one at the time as an experiment. But when you go to Hong Kong, all the global transaction happening there. Everything, when you trade with them, everything is to go through Hong Kong, because that is a system that is accepted global. That's why if you cut them, their system, if you cut Chinese from the global system, the financial system inside China will not collapse.
No, I think even in Russia, I still have to look at my documents, because when Russia was cut out of this SWIFT system, how do they call it? They started operating is Russia, Iran, and China, and they were making more money again. I don't know what, but I need to go back and check again.
It's a diplomacy first. You need to understand diplomacy.
Yeah.
And you also need to understand things. You need to understand proper. What I would say is, you can put sanctions to the Chinese that they cannot use the system. But I'm saying the Chinese system inside the country is still continuing going. I think nothing interrupted. Why? Because they create their own financial system. Because they understand it.
Mm-hmm. So the system is there to make... Yeah.
Because this is system, because for us, what we are taught, we are not taught alternative way of thinking and ownership. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Today, if Namibia make a mistake, even if you have how many billions made in the banks, if they say, if the banks lose that money, what are we going to do?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's why those countries, they are the countries that are always been affected by sanctions is the country who doesn't have an alternative way of financial system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's listen from others. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we are looking at financial prudence. We are speaking about money. We are saying money has not been part of the foundation of African economy, and we try to find a way. How can we understand it better? How can we win within the system? What can we do to make sure that we manage finance very well? Because there is always a thing of debt servicing. Debt servicing, all the many other people can say, not every country has debts, but there's always a thing of debt servicing. African countries are servicing their debts. We focus more on financial system. We focus more on, give us more money. But you are asking yourself to say, why a country like Zimbabwe with beautiful features, fertile land, minerals, just one sanction? And everybody's running out of the country. The fact that the financial system becomes so weak due to sanction. When you want to go buy bread, people used to make jokes of people going to buy bread where you put the money in wheelbarrows. Then the system try to print money, but you cannot win because it's not your system. You cannot win because you don't understand. Unless you use other currency. The currency becomes so weak, then you are asking yourself to say, what is really happening? And the caller is right to say, those who suffer is those who do not have alternative. Because you continue to say, give us more money, do you have wisdom and understanding of how to use that money? How much do we spend on things that are not long-term? How much do we spend on things that are not going to assist our children in the future? And what can we learn from best case studies? You can have a different ideology about a certain country, but if somebody is doing well, and there's one thing which my uncle taught me to say, don't tell me that you hate people. People can do bad things. It's not that people hate them. People can do bad things to you. But there's something that you must know, that even that person that you hate so much, there is something that you can learn from that person. Because don't just hate everything. Hate the behaviors, not the person. There must be something. If you have a political opponent, if you have a country with different ideology, get a best case study from there that you can learn. Because where we are now, we speak on, I think I'm a good advocate for economic inequality to some extent. But I also need to make sure that I advocate for better knowledge, right education. Because if an academician, high level of education in a certain field cannot build anything, a financial expert cannot come up with a better financial model, then there's something that we are not doing right. If, you give us money, equal money, but you are from different backgrounds, why should I have shoes more expensive than everything in my flat? Why should I have that? Why should I have, a
a Land Cruiser V8 just to go and chill and become a liability. And other people look at me, and I don't have a farm, I don't have a business, just to show people. What can we do to make sure that we understand finance better? We also understand how to use it and also how to keep it too. Because this is a game that you continue to play for quite a very long time. You cannot destroy the entire system, but you can have an alternative like the caller has stated. So let's look at the caller. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm well.
The system that you are using, whether it's data or whatever,
It's not whatever. It's better trading.
Yeah, better trading.
Yeah.
Now, you know, for us, we were more exposed to those trading actually.
Okay.
Because we could get
Koshasha. Ngo ha.
Yes. We used to sell those things.
Sell them how?
So we just go and they, just like the way they are selling at Omatala. We used to sell them in the house.
Okay.
In our houses. We go and correct them, harvest them, and then we sell those things.
Okay.
So that concept maybe did not stick really on us to really promote it. No. When it now, when the market was, when the trading was now modernized and all these other things. But we supposed to have grown up with those, that kind of spirit.
But were you taught how to use money at home when you were having dinner with your parents or your guardians? How? because they do not know. They are also struggling. They also did not know.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that is also something that we need to look into to say where we really thought about how to use money at home. Because people have foundation at their houses to say when they are at the dinner table, they are taught properties, they are taught, investment, they are also taught what to buy, what not to buy. They are taught impulse, buying and all these things. But to us, they just say, go and work. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that should be the part maybe where we neglected or neglected ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think the issue of South Africa is good to have now started with the kingpin there.
Get
South Africa. And remember, can you see now how the criminals are trying to infiltrate into our judicial system?
Like how?
So I read yesterday the commander of Osana, commissioner was here, and they were talking about all those, how they are arranging and stuff. You know, they were killing the prosecutors and all those people. So now they have started here. So we need to be very serious and see how we can really create a more awareness on those issues, because when it's getting like this now, it's becoming dangerous. Because those are the people who know that, yes, these are criminalities being tried like this, persecuted and things like that. And now they are now trying to make sure that they damage or corrupt our judicial system.
Okay, what is your view on Kate Matala? Did you watch
it? Kate Matala is just like Brown Mokhosi.
Yeah, but he look experienced and very look very tough man.
Ha! So I just thank God for Mukwanazi, those commanders.
Yeah.
Who can be, who really stand for their country seriously. But those are professional liars, like the one that Brown now, Mahosi, is a professional liar. They are all lying.
But how can you say how can you say they are lying if the things did not yet come to the conclusion?
No, it's just from the start.
But I think this week I did not catch up with them. But the law is saying everybody is innocent until proven guilty.
But I cannot lie after when you have done this thing. This is under oath. You are actually here under oath.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you are lying again.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the commissioners there, they are saying nothing for Mukosi. Even this one. You know, you remember the, even when you put us, this is, we were listening now this morning. You just asked, I don't know. Maybe. All these things. But the other one is lying. All of them, they are actually liars. Because they don't want to disclose their source. So they are just, remember the other time I told you, somebody who committed suicide there, it was the ambassador. Yeah?
They did not say he committed suicide, they say he fell from the building.
No, they, but for me here, I mentioned that he should have committed suicide.
No, that is, that is.
But I also heard some of the link through there.
Mm-hmm.
How it's connected to those things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So please, let's protect our legal system.
Yes, yes, please, and the judiciary, but, yeah.
Let's protect our judicial system.
Indeed, indeed.
So imagine somebody of that nature. By now, even that G20 leader summit, it was not going to take place if they couldn't have discovered those criminalities. There's going to be bloodshed there.
Okay, okay. What is your take on the result of elections? Are you happy?
Me, I don't even know the result. Huh?
Oh, you don't read newspaper?
Yeah, so yesterday...
You don't follow also?
Today, yeah.
You don't follow on...
Marungula. But I think I will get them in the newspaper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you asked a question yesterday, what then after the election or the result?
Yeah.
I still want people to talk about that thing. What then? Are they going to work together? Are they going to collaborate with the leaders?
Mm.
The leadership and all these other things?
Mm.
Are they going to call them to account?
Mm.
Or are we going to call ourselves to account and see how we can both be part of the economic, how do you call it? Economic, you mention always the economic and what?
Economic development, what did I say?
Economic growth.
Oh, okay.
So development might be a very deceiving concept.
It's even broad.
It's even broad.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank you very much, David.
All right, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 37 minutes past the hour of 7. And as I indicate, we are here until 8. And, you know, it's quite very important to look at what we have in the newspaper today, especially your number one economic newspaper in Namibia. That is the Villager newspaper, which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And... on top of the Villager newspaper for today, stated that 36,260 day old chicks imported from South Africa in 2 months. When you get these statistics, you get this number, you will be able to understand that how many
chicks, what market is there when it comes to the numbers of, you know, chicks, and what demand do we have in Namibia, and what gap can Interpret Nua jump into, especially when it comes to development, and also to us young people, especially those who are applying for youth fund. This is one of the opportunities to get into, because you have demand. You have demand in that space. Yeah. And there is also an article by Dave Shombe that is on page 2. And that article is speaking about AU promise to end Africa raw material supply. And that is the content of EU summit that was held in Angola. And within that article, you can also be able to understand that it also just you know, continuation of summit, the link between G20 and also Africa EU summit, and also what was the content of discussion, particularly when it's coming to minerals, what is in the G20 declaration in terms of critical minerals, what did African leaders said at EU-AU summit, what are the analysts saying too, especially when it's coming to AU-EU summit, is EU seeing Africa as an equal partner, or it's still, or it sure is seeing Africa as a source or an extraction source. Because through analyzing the words of diplomats, you'll be able to see where they are focused in. As the president of EU Commission, focus especially more on development of infrastructure. Not only to say any other infrastructure, but also infrastructure such as Lobito Corridor, infrastructure that allow minerals to go or to leave Africa to the global market. Then when you go to page 3 of the Villager newspaper, you can be able to see January 2026 intake of at Vichia University, postgraduate qualification. Go and study. Go and don't only argue, but at least invest in knowledge, because that is the greatest investment that can come, and that you can use to develop your community, to develop the self too. Because you have a postgraduate diploma in higher education, that is just a 1-year course. You have a postgraduate diploma in project management, diploma in business administration, postgraduate diploma in monitoring and evaluation. In monitoring and evaluation, especially when you have project and programs that need monitoring and evaluation. Because if you are an expert in monitoring and evaluation, it's easy for you to assist not only your institution, but your country too, to track records, to say, guys, we are doing very well, we just need to accelerate on this part. Or guys, we are going off road because numbers are not numbering. Let's re-evaluate the project so that we can move forward. So you have postgraduate diploma in occupational health safety, level 8, masters of high education, masters of project management, masters of monitoring and evaluation, masters of occupational health and safety, and the MBA, that is masters of business administration. Go and study, and you can get more information at Vavisha University website. You can read the Villager newspaper, and you understand the fees there, and also application deadline is 30 November 2025, and you have today, tomorrow and Sunday, and make sure that use that opportunity. Take time, application does not take long. Take time, apply, go and study next year so that you become a good citizen, and you become a productive citizen too, that not only contribute to the body of knowledge within the field that you are studying, but we are also contributing to the Namibian development in terms of economy and also in terms of thinking and understanding. Because one of the things is, and what we are discussing today is also about thinking. What can we do to think differently? So, looking at page 4, there is an article on redesign, engage, and enhance policy implementation. That is, that's an article by Hinomino Vari Hangara that is looking at, NPC, that is National Planning Commission, and, get that, and also, look at, the aspect of, planning, and that is, article from, Menavadi, Angara, get, content. Now, on top of that, you also be able to look at page 5 of the Villager newspaper, where you look at an article on DBN approve 164 million for Rospina Solar Park expansion. People are investing in clean and renewable energy. And also, one thing I have realized, I do not want to say people are jealous of Africa, but they see potential in Africa too. Because one of the things that EU president has mentioned is that, you know, look, Africa has plenty of solar, but why is not used?
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Oh, Black Friday, you know, ShopRite, Okunino Faliva, oh, Nene Convo, oh, Masuanaki, oh, Mirumbarina, here is Homilogontano, November, oh, Thirago, so Poveras and Domilogontano, Minimangashi, oh, Harmona Terakatu, Thonesta Vericofi, Sorbo, Chicory, Ninga Coffee Granules, Ethrumilogontato, Advicate, okay, Jimarishon, Marito, Sunlight, 5-in-1, Comilogontano and Tato, Advicate, Osho, oh, Haramatri, Mesontuoko Mayo, Aqua Fresh, 4-in-1, with Bayana, Motrash Colon and Tato, Advicate, Ino Parusa, Omas Guani, Okubita, Nakuwe, Oko, ShopRite.
Okay. Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's 46 minutes past the hour of 7. And we are looking at the Villager newspaper to say, you know, there is 164 million for Rospina Solar Park expansion. And the point I was stating is that, you know, people, especially from the outside, the fact that we have sun, the whole year, it's not what's happening in other countries, not what's happening in Russia, not what's happening in Europe. Those, you know, continents and countries, they have long winters, not like us. You only see the sun, and when the sun come out, they are so happy. They are taking pictures. But when you have it here in Africa, we don't even value it. But when they come to Africa, they see potential to say, these guys have potential in terms of energy. They have potential in terms of energy. And we don't know why they are not utilizing it. And you look at how things are. And the aspect of investment into our resources, even the solar itself or sun, which is free energy, is a investment. It's a great investment that we can ever make. That's why there is a lot of talks on clean energy and all those things. But to us, we don't see it. But those who understand how the economy is working, they understand that if these guys, they power themselves, a lot of things that we are going to sell, they are not going to. We have to negotiate with them, because that is forever sun, is forever energy that you can use, and it's even clean. That's why all the focus are in Africa. And you must understand that you still have gold in your hands, but you can still not understand and value it. So that's why it's quite very crucial to look into that. And yeah, there is an article by Nakreta Ikera that is on elections. A 94-year-old walks to vote, hoping for change. Look at the history of legends and people who, at the age of 94, she has to walk and come and vote. And that is how important, how variable voting is to some people. If an elder can do this, why not me, who have energy just to sacrifice 5 minutes of my time? Yes, there's an opinionated article. Black Friday, balancing act between opportunity and overspending. And that is from Selma Kaulinge. And get opportunity and read to say, if you are speaking about Black Friday, are you buying on price or you are buying on what you want? Because you may end up overspending, and also you may end up making a wrong financial decision because you end up with properties and things that you did not want, you just bought because of price. But that is not part of financial prudence that we speak about. So get an opportunity and read that article. Now, when you come to page 9, 8, you'll be able to read the success stories from, IUM graduates. In conversation with Pia Frida Johannes, a proud IUM alumna and a teacher by profession in Oshana, get opportunity and read and get inspired. And also look at what graduates can do in this regard, International University of Management graduate. And also because I'm always telling people to say, if you are inspired by somebody, please call him and ask, where did you study? How did you learn those things? And one of them is Pia Frida. He's a teacher by profession a teacher by profession in Oshana region, and is a graduate of International University of Management. Read that article and expand your knowledge. Now you go to page 9, you'll be able to see there is a festival saving sale that is by a woman block, and you can be able to buy your Polana macaroni for 69.99 cents, and also chicken portions 184.99 cents. You also be able to get Back Pro 139.99 cents, and many other things. So visit Woman Block and also get more information on the price. Yeah, let's look at the caller and see. Good morning.
Sorry, David, for coming back.
No, you don't need to apologize. Just give your point.
Yeah, now the issue of, I think you also did mention about the relationship between President Trump and South Africa, issues of administration, issues like that. And Trump has never visited any country in Africa, you say so. And I think what really surprised us that he was going to come to South Africa.
No,
he has already made it in advance, because he knows that their efforts, their work is in intact by then.
No. The debate is not whether he was going to come or not, because that was already sorted. The debate was America going to be represented? Because there was a discussion to say he was going to send the vice president, which was acceptable. Even the secretary of the state or any secretary at that level
Okay.
Because Ramaphosa said, no, I cannot give a presidency to a deputy ambassador.
No, that one is that, no, we are talking about before the beginning. Because
No. To him coming to Africa was not a problem. The problem was America going to be represented, where at the beginning it was supposed to be the vice president, and there was a bit of an agreement until the 11th hour to say no one is coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that particular day now, when they began, when it was open,
yeah,
the president, the Ramaphosa,
mm-hmm,
and then there were people, they even said, no, we cannot be bullied. And then he was actually saying that he's going to hunt that thing on the empty chair.
To do what?
To hunt the presidency on the empty chair.
You know, not literally, I think it's just words being used to say, I'm going to, yeah.
Yes, that means that your absence will actually, you see, I don't know why he's so angry with the president of America. Why? Until to the top, in fact, even they even indicated that they were going to be in the closing ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, now that's when they have been changing. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Then they were told that they were banned to go there because of that, you know. And you know, the analysts are saying it. We must really thank God that maybe their delegation did not even come because they were going to cause chaos and delays and all this debate, and the most of they could really delay a lot of things. We should also look at it in that manner. Whether he say the president is around, Ramaphosa is not going to be there, because all these countries, they are in the group in terms of trade negotiation, even the restructuring of the debt and the reform of those institutions.
Yeah.
So it is not only because we are presenting this case as a global, you know, it's multilateralism that people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way, because of these declarations, South Africa is going to be there, you know? So it's going, so this geopolitics might not work in their favor. Mm-hmm. If they are playing it in that way, especially mm-hmm. the West.
Yes, thank you. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
let's now promote these cardinal values.
Mm-hmm.
So issues therefore, so that we also expand more, because this is part of us now.
Yeah.
Expand more, especially when it comes to energy transition. And now we look at our constitution. We look at those other areas. Where we think like informal sector that you are, economic sector that you are talking about. Because you go beyond those benefits like medical aid, all these other things that's supposed to be enjoyed. But there are also big companies who are hiding behind the informal economy sector. A lot of them. And they are running away from paying tax.
Yes, we ran out of time. And
thank you very much. God bless.
All right, thank you for input.
So look at the legal instrument on that area and see how you can help there.
We'll start from there next week, Monday.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
All right. Yeah, dear listeners, make time. Like and share our page. Read the Villager newspaper. Get your content. And also make sure that you subscribe, and that is the only way that you are not going to miss out. And yeah, just to look at financial prudence, let us make sure that we spend wisely, and we also spend with the future in mind. You know, there are always views, and I'm always laughing when somebody say, you know, they are different, ways of thinking, particularly when somebody has money, to say, no, life is too short. You don't know about tomorrow. That is when you have money. But you understand that when you spend that money, you are going to regret about it. But you need to spend wisely, and also make sure that, you also give others. Because you understand how the economy is doing.
there is a tendency of when you get something, let us assist each other, not to create dependency, but at least, you know, help those who need help, but don't give what you don't have. That is point number one. Do not give what you don't have. But there are people who like assisting to that extent that you don't even leave something for yourself. And that is the most dangerous thing that you can do. But help others, but with limit. Because there is a saying to say, a taker does not have a limit. It's only a giver who can control. But yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Chauvet to unpack the day. And make sure that, you know, you follow us and look at the Villager newspaper and read through. Because when you read, that is the only way that you are going to enrich your mind. And psychology has proven that those who read, their mind grow younger and you will not grow older like other people who don't read, because the exercise of the mind is reading. The exercise of the mind is reading. And make sure that you read and also you take care of yourself. So, for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now and see you around.